I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. This morning we will continue our study on the crowns that the Bible presents to us. I have found there to be five crowns that the Bible seems to speak of as relating to the Christian belief, the believer. A crown that is to be given to believers who live lives that are faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ. These crowns speak of eternal matters. There is the incorruptible crown, where Paul talks about that as being the importance of striving for the eternal. We've looked at the crown of righteousness. It's given to those that love Christ's appearing, those that are looking forward and not ashamed as they wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be soon. We don't know when, but it can happen at any moment. Today we're going to look at the crown of life. The crown of life. And I've asked you to turn to Revelation chapter 2. This is one of two places where we see this crown mentioned. And again, I want to remind you that these crowns are for believers, those who have already trusted in Jesus Christ. This is not something that has to deal with salvation, but something that has to do with you working out your salvation with fear and trembling, with you being a follower of Christ and living a faithful life for His honor and glory. Well, Revelation chapter 2, we've looked at this in the past year or so, but we're going to look and focus in on verse 10. But before we do, I want to just give you a brief context. This is written to one of the churches in Asia, Smyrna. And I call this church the suffering church. I call this church the church that is enduring tribulation and great hardship. This is one of two churches that does not receive a sound rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of these churches, and there are seven in total, the rest of them receive a firm rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. But this one and one other is found to be living faithfully. I want you to notice if you have a red letter edition Bible, you will find that these words are written in red. That is because these are the words of Jesus as He is giving this message to the Apostle John, who's writing it on the Isle of Patmos. Let's take a look at verse 8, and we'll read down through verse 11. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Well, you see the crown of life mentioned there? It's mentioned in a context of great suffering and death. Let's take a look at this verse 10, and I want to make a few comments as we go down through this. If you're taking notes, I have just a small outline for you to just help you understand what it means to live faithfully and receive this crown of life. As you see in this passage, it begins with fear none of these things. Well, with that in mind, I believe God wants His people, His followers, believers, to stand with courage. As you think about courage, I read one author who wrote this, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important." Another wrote, "Courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of readiness to die." You know, as we think about courage, I'm sure that there are different people that come to mind in your life. Men and women, maybe it's your dad, or maybe it's your mom. It's your dad who has the courage to get up and deal with that little bug when you're just a small little boy and the little bug just seems so large. Maybe it's your spouse. I know I look upon my wife as a woman of courage, especially when it comes to bearing children. Such a task is too great a calling for a man. You know, as we think about courage, we are reminded of what's going on here in Smyrna. This is a place of great suffering. And I'm talking here of suffering. As you look at this, this is not suffering of a physical matter. These people are not suffering because they're experiencing sickness or emotional hardship. They're suffering because there are spiritual battles going on in this place. And these dear people are seeking to live faithfully and please God in the midst of the challenges. You saw that as we read this, and the Lord Jesus Christ is recognizing this to be a place of suffering. There's suffering going on here. And He says and He exhorts them, "You stand with courage, dear people. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." You know what? As you look at this, it's amazing to see that the Lord Jesus declares this command, "Fear not. Fear none of these things." I mean, is that possible? Is that realistic? Is that something that's fair, God? To fear none of this? I mean, it is a natural thing to fear persecution, isn't it? You think about Christianity. I want you to think about what is at its core, its very meaning and very root. You know, Christianity is more than just about this life. It's about the life to come. Christianity does not find its core value in the life that you live right now. It finds its value in the life that we have to come that is given to us through Jesus Christ. The life that you live now is given great value and meaning through your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And your salvation, its ultimate completion, is when you and I are with Jesus. When you and I, our lives are changed, when we will no longer be tainted by sin in that nature, we will not be confronted by the devil and the things of evil. You know, Christianity is really something all about the things that are eternal. You see that in this context because the Lord Jesus introduces Himself in verse 8 as the first and the last, terms speaking of His eternality, Him never have a beginning, He's never going to have an end, no one will live before Him, and no one will ever live after Him. "That which was dead and is alive." The Lord Jesus, and I'm looking at the end of verse 8, He describes Himself as the first and the last. He describes Himself as that one which was dead, but now is alive. So not only is Christianity about things that are eternal, but it is all about life. You see, this world is entrenched in death. It's fear of death. It has incredible fear of death. And rightly so, because death is final and it means so much. It's profound for people to face death. But you know what? Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ is about life. You know what? The Lord Jesus here speaking to the people in Smyrna, and he says, you know what? Stand with courage, my dear ones. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You know, we see a second thing here in this passage. Not only is the Lord Jesus encouraging them to stand with courage, but he's encouraging them to stand with conviction. My heart is overwhelmed by those people that even today are standing before mobs who are seeking to take their lives. And it's not because they've committed crimes. It's not because they are some horrible creature who has murdered their friends and family. It's because they stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it take to stand before a mob that it hates the name of Jesus and hates you and hates your family? It takes great conviction. You know, what is conviction? I found it interesting to read this article written by a Christian lawyer discussing the difference between a conviction and a preference. Listen to what he writes. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, a preference is a very strong belief held with great strength. You can give your entire life in a full-time way to the service of the preference, and can also give your entire material wealth in the name of the belief. You can also energetically proselytize others to your preference. You can also want to teach this belief to your children, and the Supreme Court may still rule that it is a preference. A preference is a strong belief, but a belief that you will change under the right circumstances. Circumstances such as peer pressure. If your beliefs are such that other people stand with you before you will stand, your beliefs are preferences, not convictions. Family pressure. Lawsuits, jail, threat of death. Would you die for your beliefs? A conviction is a belief that you will not change. Why? A man believes that his God requires it of him. Preferences aren't protected by the Constitution. Convictions are. A conviction is not something that you discover. It is something that you purpose in your heart. Convictions on the inside will always show up on the outside in a person's lifestyle. To violate a conviction would be a sin. Interesting, as he writes this, probably many years before our day, where our very Constitution and government is seeking to attack some of the very convictions that have been held to by our nation for many, many years. Why do I speak of conviction? Well, I speak of conviction because what you see in this passage, and I read it again in verse 10, fear none of those things that shall suffer. Notice suffering. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Notice prison. That you may be tried. Notice trying, trials. And you shall have tribulation. Notice tribulation. 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Notice death. And I will give you the crown of life. I just named off 5 things. Suffering, prison, trials, tribulation, and death. 5 things that these people may or may not face or were facing during this time period. And the Lord Jesus says, fear none of those things. What does it take to face suffering, prison, trials, tribulations, and even death? What does it take to fear not? It takes not only courage, but it takes conviction. You stand there with a firm stance on what you believe to be true. No matter what is going on around you, you stand. You stand all the way to the end. With that in mind, I wanted to share this story with you. The Khmer Rouge soldiers burst into the room, brandishing their weapons and shouting insults and threats. When the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia in 1975, thousands of Christians were killed. Children were even thrown before alligators so the soldiers could save their bullets. None of the members of the small congregation moved. An officer walked up to the pastor and he grabbed the Bible he had been reading and threw it on the floor. "We will let you go," he said, "but first you must spit on this book of lies. Anyone who refuses will be shot." Another soldier grabbed a man by the arm and forced him forward. He said, "Father, please forgive me." And he prayed as he knelt where the Bible had fallen and spat lightly on it. "Okay, you can go." Then the officer pointed to a woman. She too knelt by the Bible, and she moistened the Bible just enough to please the officers. A teenage girl suddenly stood up and walked towards the Bible. Tearfully, she knelt and picked up the Bible, and taking the hem of her dress and wiping it clean, she said, "What have they done to your word?" She said, "Please forgive them." The soldier lowered his revolver to the back of her head and squeezed the trigger. The Christians who were initially allowed to leave, they were also shot. Their actions did little to save them. What does it mean to stand with conviction? You know, what standing with conviction means standing up to the bitter end, to the very end. You know, this crown of life is sometimes called the martyr's crown. It's called the martyr's crown because I believe this is something that is given to those that live and speak faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ all the way up until their very last breath. You know, what's significant about that? What's significant about that is they live faithfully all the way to the end. They finish well. What's interesting is this letter written to Smyrna, one of the earliest martyrs, church tradition tells us, was the bishop of Smyrna. His name was Polycarp. You know, Polycarp was a disciple of a protege of the Apostle John and an early church leader. His life ended when he refused to betray his Lord. Why? They demanded emperor worship. The Romans did during this time period. And he refused to worship the emperor. Asked one last time to disavow his Christ, the old man replied, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I speak evil of my King who saved me?" You know what, dear ones? You may be asking, well, this is well and good. This crown of life is a great thing to talk about, but there's no chance of this for me. Dear ones, listen. Although we may not live in Cambodia or Vietnam or China, Iraq, Iran, these places where persecution happens every day and Christians are giving their lives, we live in a place where it is increasingly becoming hard to stand with conviction, to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ with true conviction. God is calling upon you and me to stand with courage and conviction in this dark time. You realize, don't you, that America, it is a great nation, absolutely, but it is no longer holding to the great values upon which it was founded. And you are realizing as well that history tells us what happens to nations that go the way that America is going. And you realize, don't you, that the stances upon which we take the Word of God are increasingly becoming looked upon with hostility. Dear ones, listen. Now is the time to decide, how are you going to stand? The Lord Jesus Christ tells these people in Smyrna, stand with courage. Fear not. And he goes through a list of things that, if we were to face them, would shatter our world. But he says, stand with conviction. You be faithful all the way up until death. You know what? Apostle Paul wrote about persecution, and he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You catch that? It's a part of our lives. You know, you may, I didn't sign up for that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't sign up for that. But listen, it's the reality. And here's the beautiful thing about it, though. We do not go through these things alone. It saddens my heart to think of those that believe not Jesus Christ, and they go out into the world and they suffer persecution for their false God. What hope do they have? None. Dear ones, how can these people like a Polycarp stand up before a mob that is about ready to set them on fire and say, I will remain faithful to my king? How can they do that? They can do that because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Christianity is different. It's about the things of eternal value. It is about life. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. Hence, we talk about the crown of life. The crown of life given to those that are all the way up till death are faithful. And they receive this life. And that life is eternal. Stand with courage, fellow believers. Stand with conviction. You can do this. Because the Word of God tells us this, these truths and many others, and I'll just give you these three. You know what? Death has no power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 and 50 through 58 talk about how death has lost its power. It's lost its power because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Dear ones, if you ever, or if I ever face death because of Jesus Christ, know this. That death is just you changing places, going from this world to the next. And it is truly a beautiful transition. Death has no power. How about this truth? This world is not my home. How's that song go? I'm just a passing through. Have you embraced that in your life? Embrace it. It will help you as you face challenges. You're just a pilgrim. Philippians chapter 3 tells us that our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. How about this? God ministers to those who are dying for their faith by His clear presence. I am so encouraged by the testimony of the life of Stephen. How about Stephen and his testimony when they were throwing stones right at him? His testimony is, I see the Lord. I see the Lord. How is it that dear saints can die with such peace and courage? It's because God is near. God is near. I want us to turn now to the book of James, where we see this crown also mentioned. The book of James in chapter 1 speaks again of the crown of life. Here, what we see is we are to stand with confidence. We see the Lord Jesus encouraging and challenging us, stand with courage, dear saints. Stand with conviction. And here in the book of James, we see stand with confidence. The book of James is written by one of the pillars of the early church. He was also a martyr, but he wrote very early in the church, this possibly being one of the first books that was written in the New Testament. I want us to take note of verse 12. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord, and catch this, that the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I smile because the Word of God is full of promises from our Lord. And I could smile because you know what? The value of a promise is not in the words that are spoken, but it is in the person that speaks them. And the promises that we find in the Scriptures from God have God standing behind them. His character, His person, who He is, the history that backs all of them up. He has always kept His promises, and He will continue to do so. And in the book of James, He declares this truth, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Another way to look at this is His trials. Many times, we think of temptation regarding simply with sin. But I want you to know something, that this temptation is simply a test or a trial where the man is being challenged in his faith. Will he remain faithful, or will he embrace sin? He's being put to the test. You notice in this verse, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, for when he is found to be acceptable and pleasing. Found to be approved. This is the term that was used when the money changers would check out the money to make sure it was the right amount of weight. It wasn't genuine. It was tested. You know what? We're going to face testing and trials. The Bible tells us that. And we need to stand with courage as those times come. And stand with conviction. But stand with the confidence in knowing that God always keeps His promises. And what we see here is that he who is found to be pleasing and approved by God shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Notice the qualification, to them that love him. That's agape love. That is a love that is not based on feelings. It is a love based on commitment. It is a love that is based not on conditions, but that of being unconditional. It is those that love God despite the circumstances, despite the things that they may face. You know what? The crown of life. The crown of life given to those that endure trials and suffering with faithfulness. And they endure all the way to the very, very end. I share this story in closing. This is about the 40 martyrs of Sebastopol. These 40 soldiers, all Christians, were members of the famed 12th Legion of Rome's Imperial Army. One day, their captain told them Emperor Licinius had sent out an edict that all soldiers were to suffer sacrifice to the pagan gods. To offer sacrifice to the pagan gods. These Christians replied, "You can have our armor and even our bodies, but our heart's allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ." It was midwinter of AD 320, and the captain had them march onto a nearby frozen lake. He stripped them of their clothes and said they would either die or renounce Christ. Throughout the night, these men huddled together singing their song, 40 Martyrs for Christ. One by one, the temperature took its toll and they fell to the ice. At last, there was only one man left. He lost courage and stumbled to the shore where he renounced Christ. The officer of the guards had been watching all of this. Unknown to the others, he had secretly come to believe in Christ. When he saw this last man break rank, he walked out onto the ice. He threw off his clothes, and he confessed that he also was now a Christian. When the sun rose the next morning, there were 40 bodies of soldiers who had fought to the death for Christ. Dear ones, persecution is a reality. It is going on as we speak. People are facing it every single day, and even to the death. And the Word of God speaks of crowns that are given to believers in eternity. They're given by the Lord Jesus Christ to believers. These are incorruptible crowns. These are crowns that reward those who live faithfully. Are you one of those? Are you willing to stand with courage and conviction, with the confidence of knowing the promises of God? You can. Trust God. I pray in my own heart and life, as challenges come, and if so be persecution, oh God, help me to stand with courage. Now is the time, church, to establish the convictions that will never change in your life. No matter the circumstances, establish those things that you are willing to die for. What are they? Is it Jesus Christ as God in human flesh, as the only payment for your sin, as the only one true God? Stand, church. Stand with courage. Stand with conviction. Stand with confidence. I pray these things, Lord, would penetrate our hearts, and that as we go from this place, our hearts would seek your strength and grace to be courageous in this dark world. Establish strong convictions in our heart and remind us of your promises and give us confidence in them. Lord Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.